Let's go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Casey Jones, UM Sports Hall of Famer, former Miami Hurricane center, my partner on pregame broadcast. Now, we don't have a pregame broadcast this week because the game was canceled. But, Casey, does it make your blood boil like it makes mine boil to hear an ass clown like Rick Neuheisel say that he thinks Miami was scared to play Arkansas State and that's why they canceled the game? It's ridiculous.
I guess. I mean, who's Rick Neuheisel?
Well, he was the guy that coached the Washington team that we beat 65-7.
I know. That's exactly my point.
Right.
But no, I think it gives people who want to talk, it gives them some ammunition on otherwise a pretty dull weekend for the Canes. You know, they got to create some news. But, you know, the biggest story is going to be just hunkering down and surviving this storm. I ran for higher ground, man. I'm calling you from Denver, Colorado.
You're mile high right now. No storm surges there.
No, man, I remember 1992, my freshman year, we were wrapping up camp and started hearing whispers about a Hurricane Andrew coming into town, and, you know, survived that one, man, but that's the last one I want to go through.
Well, let me ask you, because you know, I was 8 years old at the time, and we didn't have power for a long time, so I didn't even think about college football for like a month after that. Did that affect your first game that year?
Yeah, so we were around town for, I think, a couple days after. You know, everybody's just kind of collecting themselves. And then they put us on buses up to Dodger Town, up to Vero Beach. And, you know, aside from, you know, I mean, I think everybody was pretty shell-shocked at that time. But, you know, they laid out a spread for us up in Dodger Town, man.
Nice.
I thought it was all first class, man. It was like kind of going on vacation. We added a couple other extra weeks of two-a-days. But we practiced up there, finished camp, and then went directly from Vero up to Iowa. Iowa City played Iowa team up there at Kinnick Stadium with the pink locker rooms. So it was quite an experience.
But... they had pink locker rooms?
Oh, yeah. You remember, this is the old Hayden Fridays, man, when Hayden was the coach up there. He's a psychology major, and he painted the entire locker room, the visitor's locker room, this Pepto-Bismol pink. Thought it was supposed to calm you down and make you passive, but didn't exactly work in our case.
It probably just pissed you guys off seeing a pink locker room.
We thought it was funny. We thought it was funny. But, you know, the storm's no laughing matter, and I know that the coaches and administrators are taking care of these kids the best they can, and that's the main concern. You know, it's not whether or not you play Arkansas State.
Right.
It's whether you keep these kids safe, and these guys have a responsibility to do just that.
Casey, you know, people have been weighing in, and again, like, this is not about the decision to cancel the game, because I understand it and I agree with it, but just thinking in a football sense, right, that you don't get the game between Bethune-Cookman and Florida State, and you have that extra week off. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing heading into Florida State?
I would rather play that game, right? I think that not all of your questions were answered in that first game against Bethune-Cookman, and let's just call it what it is, man. You got to have these guys, these young guys, and you're starting a lot of young guys, especially when I say young, it's just experience-wise, but especially quarterback. You'd like to see Malik Rozier face a little bit more, you know, stiffer competition, some adversity, and like we talked about last week in the pregame, you know, he's going to be forced into some situations that aren't very comfortable, that don't look exactly what he saw on film or how they drew it up on the whiteboard in the pre-practice. So, you know, you lose that for the guys without the experience. And then you also lose, you know, I think you sharpen your other players along the offensive line, defensive line especially, with just the more reps you get in better football shape. You know, so that's the unfortunate side of it. And the reality of it is Miami had nothing, absolutely nothing to gain from this game.
Right.
It's not a quality win. You're going into you're going into a place that you don't know, you've never been before.
And you can't even fly directly into there. They're going to have to land in Memphis and get on a bus for 2 hours just to get out there.
And is this a home-on-home game from, I mean, back, like, I can only remember, like, 1997?
Did they split State up home and homes? Because I can't even remember the last time Miami played Arkansas State. But I know that they offered to go there again in a few years, but, I can't even remember.
It's just kind of a head scratcher, man. It's kind of the same type of game as an Appalachian State
right.
game, a game that you're expected to win, a game you're supposed, you know, you really don't have anything to gain from. But you know, then again, you should be the team that you can go into, you know, anybody's backyard and compete. So, but anyway, it's yesterday's news. The hurricane, you got to survive the hurricane this weekend, and then Monday starts Florida State weekend, right?
That's right. Yeah, and it also, like, it, I have to wonder aloud, Casey, and this is without knowing how severe of a hit we're going to get and how bad the damage is going to be. But, I mean, we all have to wonder if the Florida State practice week could be shortened or could be affected. It may be harder to prepare for that game at home.
It could be. It just depends on what happens to that practice field.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the coaches right now, they're talking with each other. And they're seeing what other options are available, you know, whether that's to drive up and take the team and stay up in Orlando for the week and practice up there. They're going to find a way, and I wouldn't imagine anybody's going to let anybody off the hook, especially next week in that type of game.
University of Miami Sports Hall of Famer Casey Jones, former Hurricane center, joins us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. And you know, Casey, it's funny because we talk for so long before the game starts. You and I, we haven't spoken since after the Bethune-Cookman game. Let me start here. How did you feel about that offensive line?
You know, it kind of looked in that first drive like they were going to sabotage themselves again.
Yeah.
And it kind of be the same old, same old. You know, it's a group that continuously struggles with penalties, with missed assignments. And I think the more and more they play with each other, the better and better they're going to be. But that's, you know, it's kind of what you'd expect with a new group, a new combination of offensive linemen that are playing together the first game. And, you know, thank goodness it was against Bethune-Cookman and not Florida State. So it's kind of like get a mulligan. You know, that first game, that first drive. But as you can see, as the game went on, they got better and better. They started to gel. They took control of that line of scrimmage, and they were able to execute their offense. And you know, especially they were able to protect their quarterback and open some holes for Mark Walton and for Homer as well.
How about Malik Rozier was the first start he gets as the guy, right? Because he started a game 2 years ago, but that was the first game of the Malik Rozier era. How did you feel about his performance?
Yeah, I think he did exactly what they asked him to do, and that was the, you know, don't turn the ball over, don't take chances, don't create turnovers for that offense, lead the team down the field. I was pleasantly surprised how well he threw the ball downfield, and you know he's got a lot of help down there with a couple guys 6'4" and 6'5", right at wide receiver with Cager and Langham. Those guys came up big for him. I think those guys are going to be guys that help him out quite a bit. Because even if on that long pass, you saw it was a little bit underthrown, Langham was able to run back under it and save Rozier. But overall, I think he did a really good job of getting the guys motivated, getting the guys on the field, off the field, calling the plays. And again, not taking too many chances. But when he was able to throw the ball downfield, looked good. And then also on the stat sheet, when you see positive yards for a quarterback, that's a little bit different than what we've seen in the past.
And let me ask you this, you know, a little over a week away from Florida State, and even without having that Arkansas State game to kind of build up the crescendo towards Florida State, one of the texters to our show brought up a potential positive here in that, okay, you don't get to play this game, but Florida State is going to have a lot less film now on your offense and on your quarterback. Like, they're going to know very little about Malik. You think, is that overstated, or can that be an advantage knowing that the only film that Jimbo Fisher has to study is the film against Bethune-Cookman, which is not worth a whole lot?
Hey, man, after the last 7 years, I'll take any advantage we can get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, I guess it's an advantage, but I still think that with Florida State playing at home, even without their quarterback, Giandre Francois, who got hurt in the Bama game, I think even without that, the talent level that Florida State has right now is pretty amazing. So it's going to be a dogfight again up in Tallahassee.
Hey, and going back to your freshman year, you'd mentioned that that's when Hurricane Andrew came through South Florida. Now, my knowledge of Texas geography is terrible. I know it's a very big state. I know you grew up in Midland, Texas. Is that a part of the state where you guys had to deal with hurricanes? Was that something you were familiar with?
I think millions and millions of years ago, it was an ocean. So the Permian Basin, right?
Mm-hmm.
During that era. But no, I'd never seen water before until I got to you.
Really? Oh, so you were that far inland.
I saw a lot of beach, but no ocean.
Oh, man. Okay. So you're a freshman. You're in South Florida, and suddenly Hurricane Andrew shows up. Like, how, you know, not having grown up with that, like, how did you react to that? How did you feel about that?
I remember asking the secretary, Myrna Schneider, who was, you know, one of the only people I knew on the team at the time. And I looked at her when we were breaking camp, and I asked her, I didn't know. I said, Myrna, is this serious? And she looked at me and said, this is dead serious.
Wow.
I said, you got to be careful, be safe. And I think everybody's, you know, focused, you know, shifts from the start of the football season to, you know, I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of my friends and my community. So it was a big, big shift at that point. And then we all hunkered down, the freshmen, in Mahoney Pearson. We were all locked up in the hallways. They wouldn't even let us in our rooms because of all the glass flying around.
Oh, man.
And, man, it started late at night and ended early in the morning. And when we woke up, it was like, you know, the landscape had certainly changed. There wasn't a stick. You know, there wasn't a tree standing. There wasn't a pane of glass that wasn't shattered. And it was a total devastation, you know, as far as I could see. And then, you know, I heard from friends that were further down south that it was even worse.
Yeah, no, that's where I was, KC. I was south of there, and it was not fun.
Yeah, a lot of guys lost their homes, and I know coaches lost their homes. Michael Barrow was the starting middle linebacker at the time. He lost his home, and it was a pretty scary and terrifying situation altogether.
What about your family back home? How worried were they about you?
My mom still tells a story that she thought I said that we were going to be in the basement of the dorms. And with a 20-foot storm surge, that made her, gave her some pause and some concern. But I was able to make contact with her about, you know, a couple of days after the hurricane and ease her concerns. But I think everybody was, especially with the coverage, you know, I think people in South Florida get kind of numb to the idea of hurricanes. But where I'm at in Colorado, it's on the news every day, and they show a comparison of the size, just the immensity of the storm compared to what Andrew was.
Yeah, it's twice the size.
Twice the size, not something to be taken lightly.
And also, since you are up there in Colorado in the Denver area, give me the skinny on the Broncos, man. What should I expect this year with Vance Joseph at head coach?
Super Bowl, man, every year.
There you go. You sound like a Dolphin fan.
Well, you know, fans expect nothing less here. And I think the story that they're covering right now is getting a lot of airtime is the Brock Osweiler saga.
Yeah.
18 months ago, he was going to take over for Peyton Manning, and they're going to pay him a considerable amount, but not near as much as the Houston Texans were. And so the Houston Texans promised him $70 million, which that contract was traded to the Cleveland Browns. And so he's made whole on that contract, and he's going to get $15 million from the Browns this year for playing with the Denver Broncos. Broncos get their quarterback that they wanted all the time, but they get him at a discount of $775,000.
How about that?
Yeah. So it all kind of worked out. And then it made me feel good, too, that Jamal Carter, who was on the team last year at strong safety.
Oh, we know him well.
Had a great year. You know, was one of those headhunters for Manny Diaz. He made the team as an unsigned free agent with the Broncos. It was amazing. So congratulations to him and his family.
Yeah, excellent stuff, man. And KC, I wish I was in Denver right now, man, with this storm bearing down on us. You're a smart man to be up there a mile high.
You're always welcome here, brother.
And, yeah, if only. I see the way these airplanes are backed up. I don't think there's any way I'm getting that far.
I was checking flights for my friends to come out to Denver. I'm serious. I wanted people to come out here to be with me. And American Airlines is charging $1,600 now for
Lord.
To Denver, where it was $200 before the day before.
That's criminal. That's criminal price gouging. They should all be locked up for that.
They should, man. But Alex, I wish you well, man. I wish you the best. I hope everything works out, man. Be safe.
Thank you.
You know, don't go out when it calms down in the eye. Don't go out, you know, and check it out. Just hunker down still.
Right.
You know, that back end of the storm is the dirty end, and it's going to be even worse, man. But I wish everybody in South Florida to be safe and Godspeed.
Thank you so much, KC. You want to follow this man on Twitter at CanesFish. This is KC Jones, former University of Miami center, you're never a former. He is a Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos.
Every day.
That's right. KC, enjoy the rest of your week, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too, Alex. Be safe.